141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers seal the signing of Cyril Dessers. Marco Tilio says his Celtic move has been a long time coming. And Joe Lewis leaves Aberdeen after 7 years. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Jim Duffy.
Yeah, again, Andrew, the transfer window, you know, is definitely wide open. Clubs are signing players left, right and centre now. Fans are getting excited. You know, it's getting coming closer. Obviously, the Viaplay tournament starts a week on Saturday, and then the league campaign a couple of weeks after that. But nevertheless, you know, Rangers getting that signing from Cremonese over the line. It's another forward player. Michael Beale's certainly putting his stamp on his team. We heard that little brief clip from Marco Tilio in terms of how excited he is to be joining Celtic. We've seen Michael Mandron signing for St Mirren today. We've seen Dylan Livett getting over to Hibs yesterday. So, listen, plenty for the fans to get excited about. But I'm sure there'll be more to come.
Yeah, let's hear from you tonight. 0141 951 1025. Whatever is on your mind, we want to hear from you. Maybe it's transfer business that you want to talk about. Maybe you are a Celtic fan that's interested in what Marco Tilio had to say today. We'll hear a bit from him later on. Rangers fans, finally that signing of Cyril Dessers is over the line. A 4-year deal for him. What do you make of your latest signing? Joe Lewis leaving Aberdeen as well after 7 years. A long time he was at Aberdeen, Jim.
Yeah, and for the vast majority of that, it was automatic number one. But like everyone else, you know, time catches up in all of us. We've seen Alan McGregor, obviously, towards the end of last season, you know, having his final fling at Rangers. And Joe, I would think for a goalkeeper like him, we still have a couple of years to play, at a good level if he wants to. But Barry Robson is, again, like a lot of new managers, wanted to do things his way. And unfortunately for Joe, his time at Aberdeen's now come to an end. But I've been a magnificent servant for him over the last 7 years.
Yeah, well, you can get involved, 0141 951 1025. And you can also tweet us at ClydeSSB. Let's start with that story that came out of Ibrox last night, because Rangers have already made 5 summer signings. That's now a 6th. Cyril Dessers is in the door. I think I read somewhere that it was a year ago today that Rangers had signed Antonio Colak, and that was their first signing of last summer. And they've already made 6 this summer. So it's quick business that's getting done by Michael Beale.
Yeah, well, I think it's been something that's been, mentioned in the past, particularly for a lot of the Rangers fans that call up here, Andrew. They feel that they're chasing the business later on. That maybe, they've got to do their business earlier. And with the early rounds of the qualification for Champions League coming up, then, you know, they need to bed those players in. So I think it's really good business from Michael Beale and the recruitment team at Rangers. They've always been working on it for a number of months now. But the positive signs are that they're getting them over the line. I think in previous seasons there was a lot of talk, a lot of rumours and suggestions about who might come in. They're not household names, let's be honest, but I think that they're front players. They've got players with athleticism, with pace, and different can complement the team in different ways. So I think that's something that Rangers badly needed. Obviously, they've got Abdallah Seema in, they've got Sam Lammers. You know, that obviously, towards the end of last season, they confirmed that Kieran Dowles would come in. So they've definitely, you know, got many more options now for Michael Beale, and it's just about for him managing to fit them into the system he wants to play. I think for Rangers fans, again, there'll be real high expectations this season coming up.
Just on the surface, does this look as if it's Michael Beale's number one striking target, the guy that's going to lead the line? Yes, they might play with 2 strikers because we've seen Michael Beale do that, but does this look like the main man up top? Because it looks like a significant outlay, an initial £4.5 million. He's a 28-year-old who was playing in Serie A last season. Is that the type of guy you would expect to just go straight into the starting lineup every game?
Yeah, I would think so. I think, as you say, I think more the outlay. You know, we don't know 100%, but even if it's round about £4 million, that is a huge amount of money for Rangers to be paying. Yeah, listen, he's a striker, and strikers don't come cheap. They're few and far between. He has played, you know, he was playing with Cremonese, as he said, in the Serie A. We know it's a notoriously difficult league to score goals on. I don't think he's been a prolific. He had a season, a couple of seasons where he scored quite a number of goals. But, in terms of the way Michael Beale wants to play, he obviously sees him as a perfect fit. So, yeah, he does have other options, but I would see him as being the number one striker, and I think you'll find that when it comes to the big games, whether it's in Europe or whether it's domestically, he'll be the guy that gets a nod, maybe ahead of the other guys.
Yeah, he has found most of his success in the Netherlands. He's played for the likes of Utrecht, Heracles. He's been at Feyenoord as well, where he had a successful season in the Europa Conference League, where he was the top goal scorer in that competition, scored 10 goals. But because he's spent so long in Holland, we've been speaking to Dutch football expert Michael Statham, and he's been giving us the latest on what Rangers fans can expect.
He is a really good poacher. I think he's good on the counter-attack as well. He's quite quick. And he's a confidence player, one of those who, if he's got fans behind him and he's really loved by the club and he's going to get some minutes, then he does even better. Think of Rangers, he's going to get that same mixture again that he's had at Heracles and Feyenoord. I'm really surprised, actually, that he hasn't been able to score more goals in his career more regularly. He's had a number of disappointing campaigns where he hasn't then kicked on from having a really, really good season. I feel like at Rangers, he is a really good, quite good quality striker. Really good for the league, of course. But in Europe as well, I think he'll score some goals. Unlike Sam Lammers, he's a different player. He is more of a goal scorer kind of striker. But Dessers has proven himself a lot more. He's more experienced than Lammers. And I think that out of the two of them, Dessers is the one that's going to get you loads of goals. And I feel much more optimistic about him than I do about Lammers at Rangers. I think Dessers has got all of the right tools to do really well in the Scottish League. But because of the confidence that'll give him and the fans getting to like him, I think he'll do well in Europe as well.
Yeah, I think on the surface it's easy to look at the fact he's only scored 6 Serie A goals last season, and some Rangers fans may look at that and be concerned. But he was playing for a team who was at the bottom of the table, getting relegated. You'd get fewer chances down there. It's also a much higher standard of league. It's one of the top leagues in Europe. So it'll be interesting to see how he adapts to a team that are going to be on the front foot more often than not.
I think, like, looking at any player, you've got to look at the assets and the qualities they have. Andrew, you know, I remember a few years ago when the likes of Virgil van Dijk was at Celtic, people used to say, yeah, but he's not defending against anyone. He's always, you know, Celtic's always attacking, so on and so forth. You know, you've got to look at the qualities.
There was a bit of a narrative that he would get found out down south
exactly.
Which didn't quite happen.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I think that people, you know, will look at that. So in a similar sort of scenario with Cremonese, they were, you know, really fighting and struggling. So it's difficult to be a player if you look at the goals. So Michael Beale's got to look and say, right, what quality does this boy have? Can he finish in the box? Is he calm in those situations? Does he have a good spatial awareness? Can he find space in the box? If he's looking to play on the counter-attack, has he got athleticism? Is he quick enough? Is he strong enough? And the thing that, you know, for getting that information from Holland, which would be interesting, was the mentality that was questioned a little bit there, saying, oh, he's a confidence player. You know, listen, that is something that sometimes you don't really get to know until a player is in the door.
And when he's playing, from Michael Beale saying that he adds personality and leadership to the Rangers side, so he certainly seems convinced of his...
Yeah, well, again, they might well have tried to get as much information on the type of character as possible, which is, again, is what they should do. When you're investing that type of money, you've got to try and cover as many bases as you possibly can. But that would be the only one I would look at, because, you know, it's a big, big season for Rangers. There's no doubt about that. You know, they didn't win any trophies last year. They must win at least one trophy. They must be challenging Celtic for the title. Obviously, Cyril Dessers is going to be, you know, an integral part of that. So, like any new player coming to the club, they might need a little bit of settling in time. But it won't get too long to do that, that's for sure.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Billy is a Rangers fan up first in Clydebank. Billy, how pleased are you with the signing of Cyril Dessers?
Yeah, I'm really pleased about the signings. Not just him, but the actual signings that Michael Beale's made in this, you know, obviously transfer window. He came out last year and said that he'd had players in mind and all the rest of it. And we've heard this umpteen times before in years gone past, but this time he's, you know, the Rangers board and the management have just went ahead early enough and he's going to get them in, and I'm really looking forward to the season. But see, before we go into that point, can I just send my best wishes to Edwin van der Sar, who's obviously in hospital just now with a bleed on the brain.
Yeah, well said, Billy.
And I just hope everything goes well with the guy, because he was an amazing keeper for Man United at the time.
Yeah, he was indeed, well said.
But even I'm looking at the Celtic side of things with Mikolo coming in and all that. I think this is going to be a really good season for Scottish football. Because, I mean, Rangers are stepping up. They're bringing up players. And hopefully Michael Beale can put it into, you know, his way of working, as they say. And the last five games of the season, you know, after the split last year, you know, showed me a wee bit of confidence. But this season, I just really hope this carries on. And I think it's going to be great for Scottish football.
Yeah, you look at the business that Michael Beale has done so far in this window, and because there have been so many signings so far, six, it's impossible to, you know, predict how they're going to do and how they'll settle in and how they'll gel together. But there's no doubting that Michael Beale has gone into this summer with a clear plan that he's executing early, and he's been backed by the Rangers board as well, because Cyril Dessers' fee is an initial around £4.5 million. Sam Lammers was £3.5 million as well. Yes, they've had some free transfers in there as well, but Jack Butland, you would expect, would be on a good wage as a former England international. So he's certainly being backed, and you know, he's gone in getting his business done early, because he looks as if he has that plan in mind.
Yeah, but they have to be doing that. You know, I mean, the Rangers have to have had to invest. There's no doubt about it. As Billy was saying there, yeah, it was important. There's always been a lot of talk about suggestions, or they might bring this player in. And, you know, when Michael Beale came in, other than the games against Celtic up into the last game, you know, that was really the only negative. You look at it, his record was excellent. But there was something missing. There was something not quite clicking in these particular games. And these are the games that will make the difference, perhaps, from winning a title and not winning a title. And, you know, they had to change it, because the players that had been there for 4 or 5 years, the vast majority of them, and had been proved not good enough for the majority of that time in the key moments, in the big games. So he's changed that. Is he trying to change the dynamics of the style of a team, the mentality of the team? But he needed the backing of the board, and they had to back him, because they couldn't turn a blind eye to that. And the fans will have to get on board from day one. They have to get right behind the team, because if they're edgy from day one, then that'll transmit onto the players. So the Rangers fans have to support the manager, have to get behind him, give him the total backing, and those new players then would possibly thrive.
Billy, do you feel that with six signings in the door that Michael Beale still has quite a bit of business to do, or do you think that's most of it done for Rangers and there will maybe only be one or two more through the door?
I think there's another... Well, Michael Beale's obviously come out and said he's looking for another two, possibly. But I think once he gets them in place, it's going to be a different season for us totally. And I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm more optimistic this season.
Those last few games of the season you talked about, is that the standard you're looking for again at the start of next season?
Well, I'm looking for that standard plus a wee bit more.
Yeah, that's the thing, Billy. I mean, you know, I say if you look at Michael Beale's record in terms of wins and, you know, the games played, goals scored, all these type of things, you know, it was very, very impressive. But just that little bit of extra, and it'll be interesting, as you mentioned there, Michael Beale's still relatively inexperienced as a manager, and being up against Brendan Rodgers, who's very experienced as a manager. But again, he's inheriting a style and a team that's just different to the way Brendan Rodgers plays. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he puts his stamp. But Michael Beale is definitely saying, this is my team now. And he will, you know, implement his style of play. I think it seems to be a very positive style of play, very on the front foot. I think it'll be an entertaining style of play. But the most important thing for any manager has to be a winning style of play. And that'll be the key to see how successful Rangers are next year.
In terms of numbers now, Billy, because those six have come in, Rangers do have quite a big squad. Yes, there were, you know, the five senior players that were released at the end of the season, but would you expect to see quite a few players go in the other direction before the deadline?
I think there will be another couple of players in it, like Kamara, and that. I think there will be a few players going out.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn Kamara's a very interesting one, Jim, because I remember Andy Halliday standing in this studio when Michael Beale was just about to be announced as returning to Rangers, and he said the one player he felt would benefit the most from Michael Beale coming back was Glenn Kamara, because he said when they were all together at Rangers that, you know, Glenn Kamara was basically Michael Beale's favourite player. Yeah. He was the one he couldn't get enough of. Mm. Glenn Kamara really struggled to even get off the bench towards the end of last season. It now looks as if he could be the one of the ones out the door this summer.
Yeah, it's very, very strange because, I mean, a couple of years ago, you know, I think they were talking maybe, you know, $5 million plus for Glenn Kamara. I mean, he's a very influential and integral part of the Finnish national side. You know, he was terrific in his first few seasons with Rangers. But you're right, I think a lot of people thought when Michael Beale came back to the club, because he was almost an automatic choice under Steven Gerrard, they would work, but it didn't quite. I don't know whether that was the fact is that he was almost out the door. You know, they kind of changed their mind at the last minute for whatever reason, and the boy came back to the club, and perhaps he was disenchanted. I'm not sure. Maybe there was, you know, a situation where no one was happy about it, and he maybe lost a little bit of hunger. I really don't know. That there's only the club and the player would know that. But nevertheless, I think it's time for Glenn Kamara to move on. And I'm very surprised there's not clubs really, you know, quite a lot of clubs coming in for him, because he's a very, very talented player. He's just ran his course at Rangers. But what we're talking about earlier on about Cyril Dessers, because he's had a little dip, doesn't mean he's not a good player. It just means it's not happening for him at Rangers. But I think if he went to another club, and I think he's more than good enough to go down and play at a decent level down south or Europe. So I think he will be one of the ones. And I still think there'll be three or four that will move on. And then the ones that have had long-term injuries like Tom Lawrence and things like that, they will add eventually to a very, very strong Rangers squad this year.
Well, thank you to Billy. Still plenty to get through tonight. We'll hear from new Celtic signing Marco Tilio as well. So give us a call, 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, in the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want to hear from you as well, 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. I know we stick to football here, but I just have seen that Andy Murray has unfortunately been knocked out of Wimbledon, not to be this year.
Yeah, I'm gutted for Andy. I mean, obviously, I've been running the programme over the years, and I just love my tennis and I love Andy Murray. I just think he's phenomenal. He's a phenomenal sportsman and, you know, just a credit to Scotland. And I've said this before, I can't believe the criticism that comes his way at times. He's one of the greatest sportsmen this country's ever produced. In an era where you've had the greatest tennis players of Federer, Nadal and Djokovic, I think he's still won over 30 or 40, you know, major titles. So, incredible. But listen, Father Time waits for no man, and metal hips don't help. So I think that to take Tsitsipas to five sets is still a very, very credible performance. But he said himself he was in good shape. He felt as if he could go far in this tournament, and I'm sure he'd be absolutely gutted.
Yeah, Andy Murray out of Wimbledon. I was going to say let's stick to what we know in football, but I'm sure many people would argue that that's not the case either. But let's hear from you on the phones, 0141 951 1025. Carolyn is a Rangers fan up next in Maryhill. Carolyn, how are you?
Evening, guys.
Hi, Carolyn.
Good. All good. How are you feeling about what's going on at Rangers at the moment?
Super excited, actually. I was going to get through it at the start of the season. When he touched down on Beale, this is Beale's time to shine now. This is his chance. He's brought his own players in. That 6-2 sign is coming through the door. Quite happy because they're actually like 6-2 odds for a change. They're actually big, strong players, which we need a bit of physical aggression get on in there as well, and a bit of more pace. I think they'll play quite well around. I think they'll build the team around Cantwell and Raskin, hopefully. For me, watching, I'm a season ticket holder at Ibrox. I watched Cantwell and I'm absolutely over the moon with his performance. I think he contributes quite well to the club. And I just think this is Beale's time to shine now. He's got to put this right now, because obviously Celtic are closing the gap on the titles and leagues and wins and cups, etc. And we need to do this right. Last year, obviously, it wasn't really his team, so you've got to kind of, he's kind of bedding himself back in. It's all about their commitment as well and their passion when they want to play for the club. Like some of the players, we spoke about in the past, like Kent Morellis at the door. I think it's just been too long with the club now, and folk have got to know their style of play. This is his time for Bill to step up and, you know, put the goods on the table for the supporters, you know, and we need to get right behind them. And also the board, it seems to be the board kind of backed him a bit better this time than, like, you know, like with Gio didn't. I felt we didn't get much back, but Bill needs to step up now and prove to fans that this is his team now, and we need to start bringing a bit of silverware in.
Yeah, Jim, Carolyn's saying that this is Michael Beale's time to shine, the fact that he will now have a full pre-season with his players under his belt by the time the start of the season comes around. He'll have had a full summer transfer window as well. He'll now feel, come the start of the season, that this is his Rangers team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a manager of Rangers, and Rangers have to win trophies. I mean, you hear it said time and time again, whether it's new players that sign, you know, they know themselves, they'll say, no, the expectations is we've got to be winning trophies, we've got to be challenged for titles. You know, that's a gimme. If you're a manager of Rangers, you have to accept that responsibility. It comes with that job. And, you know, you have to do it on a regular basis. It's not just every now and again. But as Carolyn was saying there, I think, particularly, I think the confidence that the Rangers fans and the Rangers board got for the likes of Cantwell and Raskin in particular, I think, you know, helped Michael Beale. Because I think if your first couple of signings don't maybe quite reach your heights, then there's always a wee bit of, you know, suspicion there that you maybe, listen, do you know the right players? Can you bring the right players in? But I think those two players in particular were such a success that you know, that gave the board real belief that that the manager can recruit top players. And I think that's it. But it's about getting the blend right, getting the balance right. You know, you need a strong competition, you need a strong squad, there's no doubt about that. But as Carlin was saying, they need silverware, and there's no doubt about that. You can play football, you can win a lot of games, but it's the crucial games that count. It's get past those semi-finals into finals, and then when you get to the final, it's winning. It's having a winning mentality, and that is the most difficult part of any top-level footballer, is having a winning mentality, knowing how to win games, you know, knowing how to get over the line. And that's something that Michael Beale still got to prove.
Because Michael Beale has said that he likes to go out and speak to players, and he's flown out to Italy to speak to Sam Lammers and to speak to Cyril Dessers, and it's the phrase he used, to look them in the eye. Is that what he'll be looking for, essentially, in those discussions, that these are the players that can, you know, can handle the big occasion and the pressure, that they have that winning mentality?
Yeah, absolutely. You get a feeling for a player, you know, you use your own initiative, you know, and your own intuition when you're speaking to a player. And I think that's vital. There's a lot of players that do negotiation through an agent, through a third party. They do all that kind of stuff. You know, you like the player, you know, gets the personal terms, and then they come into the club, they've never met the manager. You know, and the manager might want to play in a slightly different style, or want to tweak the player's style of play, all these kind of things. So I think when Michael Beale goes and speaks to him, he absolutely addresses all those issues. He says, this is the way I see you playing, this is how important you are to Rangers next season. These are the club's ambitions and targets. And he lays it all on the line for the player, and if he gets the right, as you say, eye contact, the right feeling there, he'll say, right, this is the guy I want to bring in. So, you know, I think it's really good management. But as I said, you know, that's great management in July. You know, it's got to be great management by the end of April, the start of May next season.
Carolyn, you mentioned you'd been impressed with Todd Cantwell and Nicholas Raskin and the impact they'd had since January. Do their performances give you confidence that Michael Beale will be bringing in the right players this summer?
I think so, because obviously he's done his homework, and to bring Todd Cantwell in and to Raskin, as I said, the first two signings he's brought in, I think a lot of Rangers fans have been quite impressed. Maybe took a wee bit for Raskin to kind of kickstart a bit, but obviously Todd Cantwell's an attacking midfielder more going ahead, and more I would say that Raskin's more like a defending midfielder, sort of a, you know, kind of helping at the back four or in the centre. Centre back or whatever position he wants to fall into. I just feel that Cantwell's done it for me, and I think we get that other boy from Norwich coming in as well. Obviously, he took a look at the signings, and I think he's done his homework this time, because he's got to address this and he's got to get it right, because obviously the board are looking for results now, and we need commitment as well. It's not just about that, it's about trusting the players to perform on the day. As I said, we're closing the gap with Celtic. And I would say the last four games, regardless of what any fan says, I just think the Rangers were the better side, and you can see, you know, they're hungry to win it. But it's not about just winning the games, it's about winning silverware to me. And I just think Cantwell's the man for me this season. If we can work around about him, and he can supply the forwards, you know, get a bit through to. Obviously, I don't know where Scholak stands on this, but obviously you've got good pacey. You've got that Desert coming in there as well, so he's meant to be a wee bit of a poacher and a wee bit pacey. So fingers crossed that I've got good confidence in this league, and we need to go out there and just go for it. And we need to come off the traps fast, because the first game is away to Kilmarnock. There's three kind of I would say they're quite hard games to start off with, and then we hit Celtic on the 3rd of September, and we really need to get the charts fast and bring results back, points back every game.
Well, thank you to Carolyn, 0141 951 1025, if you want to be up next. Let's hear from new Celtic winger Marco Tilio, shall we? He's been speaking to the media for the first time since joining Celtic today. I think with him being Australian, there was people making the links between whether Ange Postecoglou was the one that had put the wheels in motion in bringing him to the club. He said that Ange Postecoglou, he hadn't actually spoken to him, but Celtic had been tracking him for a few years.
I never spoke to Ange, but I know I've spoken to the club for a number of years now, and they've had a plan to track for me. I think now with the new gaffer coming in, I spoke to him before I signed, and he had a great plan for me and for the club, and I just wanted to be a part of that. Since I moved to Melbourne City 3 years ago, it was my goal to get over to Europe, and here I am with an opportunity that's presented itself, and I just can't wait to get started. Work on what I can do, and that's perform on the field.
Previous Celtic clubs have came from Australia. Have you taken advice from them?
Yeah, I have spoke to Aaron Moy before making my decision, and obviously being involved in the national team with him a few times. Just couldn't speak highly enough of the club and the people at the club, and just really brought my attention that I really wanted to do this and join this big, big, great club.
Yeah, that Australian link, we've seen at Celtic. Tom Rogic came in, and as soon as he left, Aaron Moy was in much. And then after that, there was then Marco Tilio as well. But interesting one that, because I think a lot of people would have just thought, well, Ange Postecoglou would know him from Australian football. Mm-hmm. But, he's saying that this has been a long time coming, really.
I mean, Ange Postecoglou probably did know him, but he maybe wasn't the instigator of it. But I think it's just the way the game has developed over the last few years. I think, in Scottish football in particular, but generally in the UK, there's been enough, a lot of Australians that have come in, particularly over the last two or three seasons. But there's the odd one here over the decades, like Harry Kewell, who's a coach at Celtic just now. But I think that it's something that that people are looking at the market now in a different way. The football has improved in Australia, as well as a number of other countries. And as I said, we've seen players coming in from, the Asian countries, America, South America, and Australia now seems to be a bit of a hotbed for young talent. As I said, and Celtic seem to have got another one there with Marco Tilio. So yeah, it's great. As I said, I think it's great for the game. You're bringing in different players from different countries. I think they can always add something. Obviously, with Jota leaving for Celtic, there was a bit of a gap there in terms of another wide player. Still got Maeda, who just signed that new contract. There's a bit of rumour still about Abad that doesn't seem to go away. I know, again, at 21 years of age, there's always going to be a bit of interest in him. But from Marco Tilio's point of view, then I think it seems to be good timing. Brendan Rodgers is obviously rubber stamped this as well. I'm sure if he didn't fancy it, he would have said, no, listen, that this one is not for me. But he's given that the green light. So the player seems to be thrilled. And I think rightfully so, no disrespect to Melbourne. But, the move to Celtic is a huge career move for the boy.
0141 951 1025. Robbie is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. Robbie, what's on your mind tonight?
Good evening, panel. I would just like to make the point to Jim about Dyson Maeda. Jim, I would just like to say I'm really, really happy that Dyson Maeda has signed a new deal, a 4-year deal. I quite like him as a player. I like him off the ball. I think he's a wee bit, obviously, he's top heavy on the off the ball stuff compared to when he's got the ball at his feet, but I still think he's a wee bit underrated with the ball at his feet. I like his low crossing, Jim. I think that's quite consistent, but I think his high crossing is where he overhits out of the park quite often. That said, the one that he got for Jota in the semi-final for Jota with the header was a brilliant delivery. And even his final ball, his touch, he can be, he can run it out of the park as well, like we've done against Rangers in that semi-final on a number of occasions. He's just a wee bit inconsistent, Jim, but I think in the main, I think his build-up play, when he's got his wee flicks playing other people in, I think he has actually no as bad as what other people make him out to be, but I understand that it can be a wee bit kind of inconsistent with the ball at his feet. And the thing that I really want to say is, what do you think of him as a player, Jim? And do you think that Rio Hotate will look across and say, well, there's my two Japanese compatriots. There's Kyogo signing a new deal, and there is Maeda signing a new deal, and you think that that could influence Rio Hotate, and I want to make another point after that.
Yeah, I mean, just regarding Daizen Maeda, I think that some of the points you make, Robbie, I think are quite relevant. He can be a wee bit erratic sometimes in the final movement and the final decision-making. But I think a little bit of that was because of the tempo Celtic played it under Ange Postecoglou. Celtic played at such a high tempo. You know, we know the phrase never stop, but it literally was like that at times. And I think sometimes you just need to put the brakes on a little bit and just calm down. But I think that Maeda was so important to the style and the manner that Ange played in terms of how he pressed and, you know, on the front foot, and Kyogo was like that as well. You know, the front players were really, you know, non-stop. But I think Brendan Rodgers will play a high tempo, but just slightly different. There's a little bit more control about the game, and I think that might suit Maeda, so his decision-making be a little bit better. You're going a bit low crosses, but I think if you only can put low crosses into a box when you've got Kyogo, you know. So I think that I wouldn't, if you looked at the amount of goals that Celtic scored last year and the amount of goals that Maeda was involved in, I think that's a really good return in terms of assists and things like that. You know, he didn't have maybe the flair of Jota, but very, very important because he stretches defences. Not many teams can leave him one and one, so they double up and that'll leave space for the likes of Hatate and Matt O'Reilly and guys like that. So, you know, I think he's a very, very important player. And Hatate, would the influence of mistake? Yeah, probably could. But nevertheless, it all depends on players' individual ambitions. Maeda and Kyogo have both made it perfectly clear they're absolutely thrilled to be signing those new long-term deals. Hatate might want to join his compatriots, but he also might have bigger ambitions to go and try and play in the English Premiership.
We are running slightly late for the travel, Robbie. Just quickly, what was your second point?
No, I was just like to say to Jim, I was in agreement with you when Ange Postecoglou was maybe a wee bit too gung-ho in Europe, and you were slightly critical. You weren't saying go 10 men behind the ball and be totally defensive. You were saying, and I'll accurately quote you, you've got to make the tweaks. I think that Brendan Rodgers, he's went a wee bit more since he's went down to Leicester, the top teams, he's openly admitted that he's went a wee bit more defensive and a wee bit more pragmatic. And I think what you call, what you wanted to see in Ange Postecoglou, you'll see with Brendan Rodgers in Europe now, because he's learned that he's got to be a wee bit pragmatic now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he will have to be a little bit. Listen, you know, I think you want to, you know, you have a philosophy, and Brendan Rodgers got it, Ange Postecoglou had it, and it's fantastic to watch. It's so entertaining. If you're a Celtic fan, that's what you've grown up with. That's your tradition. You can't go away from that. But when you play the big guns in Europe, you have to be realistic and know that you're not quite at that level, and therefore you have to be a little bit more tactical and, just as you say, a little bit more pragmatic. So I think we'll use that word again, tweak. I think Brendan will just tweak it a little bit when he comes into that competition.
Well, thank you to Robbie. But before the break, let me tell you about this.
Oh, you're kidding me on.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The Cash Register.
Well, earlier today, Claire from Greenock picked up on the third ring and she knew the amount. She wrote the Cash Register prize amount on her hand to remember as well and won £35,000. And she's looking forward to treating herself to a holiday.
I've been out of work for the past couple of years, like due to long-term sickness. So I feel like I should be saying something sensible, like a deposit, but no, a holiday for sure.
And now it's your chance to win £36,036 on Monday when we make the next call. But you need to be in the draw. Enter now. Text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. If you get a call from us after 3 o'clock on Monday, answer within five rings and make sure you know the correct cash register amount. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate, over 18s only, and all the rules for this Hits Radio Network Scotland competition are on our website. Text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £36,036. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy here with me, Andrew McLean, in the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time for you to get involved as well. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. We touched on it earlier in the show, Jim, but Joe Lewis leaving Aberdeen, 7 years he was there. It just kind of seems like the right time, doesn't it? Because Kel Roos was obviously the number one last year. Ross Doohan, who was a former Celtic youth player. Mm-hmm. He's now 25. He was down at Forest Green Rovers, but he's made the move there now. It seems a sort of natural parting of the ways.
Yeah, well, Kel Roos had a fantastic season. You know, I think he was, you know, the very, very solid and reliable pull off some great saves for Aberdeen. As you mentioned, Joe has been pretty much the number one in that whole time. So I think when you get to say, well, you're no longer the number one, it must become really frustrating for you and disappointing. So you've got a choice to make as well. Do you want to continue and go and play, as I said, as that number one, or are you happy to maybe sit and be the support goalkeeper? But they brought Ross Doohan in, again, young goalkeeper. I know Ross had him for a little while when I was at Morton many years ago on loan from Celtic. Very good with his feet, modern-day goalkeeper. Terrific use of the ball from the back. And again, as most managers will do, particularly at the top level, that's really, really important for a goalkeeper. So they've got two top goalkeepers now. Aberdeen, as we mentioned earlier on, Dylan Levitt signing for Hibs, coming from Dundee United. And again, a significant investment from Hibs' point of view. They'll be expecting, I think, a lot better. They had a poor start last year and got a bit better. So, yeah, I think it'll be a really interesting league this year. The thing surprised me a wee bit at the moment. I think it'll change. But with only Marco Tilio and Thiago Holman for Brendan Rodgers, they're two young potential players. But there hasn't been what I would call someone who's going to be really challenging those key players that have been playing over the last 18 months for Celtic, in particular with Aaron Moy retiring. I think there's a little gap in there. So it'll be interesting. I think the next couple of weeks will be big weeks for Celtic and Brendan Rodgers. And we've seen Rangers the last little while getting the publicity for signing those players. I think it'll be Celtic's turn in the lead up to the start of the season.
Well, Alec is a Celtic fan in Renfrew. Do you go along with that, Alec? Are you expecting some big signings in the next few weeks?
Thanks, Andrew. Big Jim's just stole my thunder there. Jim, you're absolutely right. Brendan Rodgers has been back for 2 weeks today. Mm-hmm. It's been quiet, obviously, for the big names coming in. We've got the Australian boy and the other boy, the mid-centre half. Mm-hmm. But I can see Brendan Rodgers pulling two, three, four rabbits out of the hat next week with good quality signings. Good quality signings that will take us into the Champions League. I really don't see where the negative thoughts are. People saying that we've not done this, we've not done that. Give him a wee bit of time. He's doing his homework and we'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's still very early in the window and, you know, people may look across the city and Rangers making six signings, but because there's been that upheaval at Celtic with Ange Postecoglou leaving and Brendan Rodgers coming in, it's only natural that they'll take a bit more time to get their transfer business done.
Yeah, but also Rangers had to make the signings. Mm-hmm. Celtic didn't. Yeah. Celtic had a very, very strong squad, and you know, I don't think that there was the same need and the same rush to do it. Rangers had to get them in early, but I think that as Alec was saying, Brendan Rodgers first and foremost had to just settle himself into the job. I think he took a little bit of breathing, didn't do that automatic press conference and that, Andrew, as you would well know. He took a little bit of time, just gathered his thoughts, and then I think he just seems to be a wee bit calmer in those type of situations, and I think that's the way he'll approach the recruitment side of it, just taking his time. But he will have, you know, plenty of options with the recruitment team. And again, doing all their homework, and I don't think there'll be any issue. But I think the difference between the two young boys have brought in, I think, are potential, and they will develop over a period of time. I think he needs maybe just a couple of signings just to give him real competition in the key areas in the starting 11. And I think that always takes a little bit more and is also a little bit more expensive.
Those rabbits out the hat that you were talking about, Alec, are there any ideas in mind, whether it's specific players or positions that you think Brendan Rodgers will be looking at?
I think we need a new centre half to maybe challenge Carter Vickers. Carol Starfelt. We need obviously there's a lot of talk in the papers about Kieran Tierney maybe coming back, but I think Taylor done a great job the last couple of seasons. No, Andrew, I don't know. I'm leaving that up to the Celtic coaching people and the staff, because they're obviously a lot more knowledgeable than what I am. As I say, Big Jim just stole my thunder there again. Mm-hmm. Saying that.
Sorry, Jim.
But I reading yesterday, we've got something like £90 million in the bank, and then we'll get the Champions League money. I've got absolutely no fears of the coming season coming at all.
Yeah, I think this. I mean, listen. The one thing you'll know when it's a Brendan Rodgers side is that they're going to be on the front foot. They're going to play attacking football. I mean, the last time, obviously, you know, almost the perfect record in terms of winning things and the amount of goals scored, the invincible season, so on and so forth. I think there'll be a real competition this year. I think Rangers will put up a real challenge to Celtic for all the trophies. But I think that Celtic will, you know, as I say, will strengthen. But they have a very, very good squad. The players know each other. Yeah, there'll be a little, you know, maybe, you know, Brendan Rodgers style to the way they want to play. And that has to be, he has to adapt. The players will have to adapt a little bit. But over the piece, I think that, you know, Carter Vickers was immense. As you see, Alistair Johnson coming halfway through last year, I think was immense. You know, you're maybe looking at the front area. We all been the backup to Kyogi. You'd expect him to be better this year, but that's one area again. Think perhaps could there be something in that area? And again, in the midfield for me, with Aaron Moy going, there might be a little bit of a requirement for someone who just maybe sits with Callum McGregor, who we know normally plays all the games, but you know, there's always a time where he picks up a little injury. Do they have a natural replacement for him?
Iwata, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. But I think there's a couple of areas there that can be strengthened in terms of competition. Mm-hmm. But as I said, if you looked at it as in starting 11 or a 15-16 squad there, Celtic are very, very strong and still, as far as I'm concerned, still the team to beat.
Is there a pressure, an external pressure maybe from, for Celtic to spend money in this window? With the Jota deal, there was the update on the London Stock Exchange where they said that their finances are significantly better than expected with those transfer fees coming in. Do you think there is a sort of wider expectation that Celtic will now go out and break the bank, or whatever cliche you want to use?
I don't know if they'll break the bank, because we keep saying this all the time, Andrew, and I know the guys like Hugh and that, you know, it's not always the fact that you want to throw money, it's the fact that world players come and play in Scotland. That's the thing, it's a Scottish competition, you know, it's a Scottish league, it's not one of the, you know, it's regarded as one of the highest leagues or the best leagues in the world. So you might throw a ton of money at it, but you know, unless you're getting to the Saudi money, then you're not going to attract some of the players because they want to play at a certain level. But nevertheless, I think that a club of the stature of Celtic, the tradition, the style of football, and also the fact is, if you are a player that does have ambitions to go and play, Celtic have got that track record of doing that. So I think that's more an attraction rather than perhaps, as you say, a big name signing. I still think it could be, you know, over the course, if you looked at Dembele or Edouard or any of these type of guys, that type of signing where he's just under the radar and ready to mature.
Well, thank you very much to Alec. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for tonight. It's been another quick week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but don't worry, we'll be back again from Monday night. Roger Hanna will be in the studio with me, and I'm sure there will be plenty more going on as well. But thank you for listening in. Thank you for your calls and your tweets. Thank you to Jim Duffy in the studio, but stay right there because it's the only way to kick off your weekend. Up next, it's the GBX.